Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Barb. Welcome to episode 181 of the Groom Pod, recorded on September 23rd, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Amazon.com and Patreon.com and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Stazco, South Park, Evolution Shears, and Precision Sharp. This week on the Groom Pod, we have an interview with Barb Hoover, author of The Difficult Dog. We are going to learn about Manuka honey, and we're going to tell each other three things we would tell our beginner groomer selves. So if you'd like to join our discussion, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod anywhere you get podcasts. Find all things Groom Pod related at our website, www.thegroompod.com. That includes the Amazon banner, Patreon button, and the donation button. And remember to share it with your grooming pals and support our wonderful, wonderful sponsors. All right, today we have Barb Hoover joining us. Oh, say hi, great. Barb.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
What happened to you this week? Anything exciting?
Well, I had something very satisfying. That's that I knocked another one out of the park on my wire-coated dachshunds. Because I was able to do an excellent grooming for the breeder, now she's telling all of her puppy people local about me. So I now have five wire-coated dachshunds that I'm hand-stripping.
That's nice. You've got the breeder connection. I've got the veterinary connection. It's good to have those like little feeders. So was it a hand strip?
It was a hand strip, you know, and it was a nearly two-year-old dog that had never been thoroughly hand stripped. And what they had been doing at other place or places was just carting out the body coat. And so the head wasn't done like it's supposed to be, and it was all bushy around the neck, and it just, you know, looked like a little kind of lion cut thing. And it was somebody that didn't know the difference between a long-haired dachshund and a wire-coated dachshund. So I mean, because I've done my homework, I'm able to get this really select group of old ladies that own these little dogs. And it's a great little breed. I mean, they don't bite. They're happy little dogs. They have coats that are good to hand strip. It's kind of a real gift for me.
It sounds like they hadn't gone in and wrecked the coat, so a plus for that.
Yeah, I have one like that, one that was sent back from a buyer because she didn't like the coat upkeep and had apparently scissored it down or something for its one and only show appearance. So that coat is kind of messed up, but this breeder understands. You know, so it's not like when you run into a regular pet owner hand strip. That's the hardest thing because you got to teach them what the whole deal is, you know.
Yeah, you got to start at the beginning if they don't know.
If they don't have a clue, you know, like they don't know about there's certain things you can pull out and sometimes you just can't. There's nothing to pull and you got to start working on a new layer. And, you know, like all of this kind of stuff that it's hard to explain to the ordinary pet owner. These wire dachshund people are show connected, so they all get it. It's cool.
Hey, Barb, are you going to Hershey?
I am.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Aren't you jealous, Barbara?
Oh, I know. It's such a fun show, and it's the big one. And you get a lot of people from other countries that come just for that one. Yeah, I'm sorry to miss it. But I'll tell you, the hotel is like such a maze that it's a little stressful.
I never stay in the hotel. No, I'm really thrifty. We'll call me thrifty. So I stay off-site.
Okay. Yeah, so my big plan was going to be to come in on the weekend of the Barclay Honors Awards, which, of course, you know, this coming weekend, but not to do any of the seminars, just maybe do a little shopping, go straight to the amusement park, spend Saturday and Sunday at the amusement park, just go to the awards banquet and then fly home. But it turned out to be extremely expensive for me to get there just to do that. So we won't be there to accept our award that by now we will have known that we won. Okay, my fingers are crossed. I'm trying. Barbara, are you there?
I don't think she is.
Yeah, no, we've got the Bernie Sanders face. We've got the frozen face. Yeah, so that was how I was going to do it. But I've never been to Hershey. So are there lots of hotels nearby?
There are, yes. I can rent a car and get a hotel room for a lot cheaper than I can stay at the lodge.
Will you go over for the evening events or will you go back to your hotel?
It depends on just the day. I mean, I will for the awards dinner, and it just depends on what I feel like. I've been working the retro stylist booth. So by the end of trade show, usually I'm pretty exhausted.
I'm very naughty at the trade show. I can't man a trade show booth because if there's ever a lull, you will find me at someone else's booth, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing at my booth. It's bad. Just well, my week was pretty exciting. Barbara has completely dropped off now. So I had an exciting week. I'll tell you about it because she wouldn't be getting a word in edgewise anyway, because it was one of those. So if you listened last week and if you listened the week before, the week before last, I had a dog on my table that collapsed. Last week, I had a client that collapsed.
I missed the client one.
This week, I had an equipment failure.
Oh, no.
Okay. And if you guys don't know, I am a technology embracer of any kind. I love technology. I love advances in equipment and stuff like that. So from the very beginning, I've been a clipper vac groomer and I have had a recirculating bathing system. If either one of those ever goes out, I practically have an aneurysm. Yeah. So I am also the queen of Costco. I have racks in my house that have backstock of things like paper towels and cans of tomatoes and, you know, baby wipes, whatever you might need. We have backstock in it. And then I keep it stocked like a restaurant because I used to stock a restaurant. I'm kind of bad that way. As a result, for the past 4 years, 5 years, probably, I've had three clipper vacs. I have three clipper vac totes because if one breaks, I need to have another one, right? Because otherwise I'm not having a good day. I will instantly have a bad day. And for Susie to have a bad day, it's very rare. Did I just refer to myself in the third person? Oh, I am so editing that out. I never have bad days. Bad days are just not something I deal with very often. So about 6 months ago, a local groomer was setting up a shop and I gave her my third clipper vac. Because really, how greedy do I need to be? She didn't have any. She was just starting out. So I gave her my third clipper vac, which is fine. Because really, how many do I need, right?
Well, guess what? I also have three. I'm using them in three different locations. But it's nice to know that if one goes down, I can grab it from the other.
It's so true. It's just this sense of security. I like security. Makes me feel more comfortable. So I'm working away and I flip the switch off and I do something and I flip the switch back on and nothing. I've got nothing. Like it didn't blow carbon and then shut off. It didn't smell funny and then shut off. There weren't sparks and smoke and then it shut off. It just wouldn't come back on.
Oh, no.
So, oh, yes. So I started to panic and hyperventilate a little bit. And I went, no, it's okay. Because I wasn't doing a dog where it was essential. It was okay. I was going to deal with it. It would be fine. Right. Plus, I knew I had brushes at home, or at least I thought I had brushes at home. So if it was a brush deal, I probably could deal with it. Either way, I have a whole second clipper vac right there, right? That was my first dog of the day. And so I thought, you know what? I'll just go home and get another clipper back. So it was not too far away. As you know, I'm a mobile groomer. So I drove home like crazy. I had just enough time. I was going to be about half an hour late to my second appointment, which is normal for me. Nobody would think twice about that. Drove home, gave my husband the clipper back, threw the brushes on top of it, said, I don't know what's going on. Grabbed the other one, put it in, headed back out to my next appointment. Halfway through my second dog, all of a sudden, carbon starts coming out everywhere.
Oh,
I turn the switch off. I flip the switch back on. Nothing. Oh, no. You know, and I, of course, when the first one died, I pulled the plug and tried different plugs. I tried kicking it because sometimes if it's the brushes, if you beat the motor a little bit, the brushes will start again or the contact will get better and you can work for a little bit. This is an issue if you have starter on your car go out. Yeah. If you take a wrench and you whack the starter, sometimes it'll work again because it's just a brush issue. So I whacked it, nothing. Then at that moment, I swore a little bit at Kaylin because, because she has the third clipper back. But who would have thought? At least I knew for absolute certain that the one that I was using had blown through its brushes because they just disintegrated and it smelled bad. And I'm very familiar with that. The other one could be a switch, could be the cord, could be the motor, because Marlene Romani, who made the clipper back, told me that for a little while, a little period of time, they were using brushless motors. And I didn't know whether I had a brushless motor or one with brushes because there was no carbon smell, no nothing. So that one needed a full troubleshooting. The one I was using, however, dead on. It was brushes. But I had a whole day's worth of dogs to groom. I had half a shih tzu to finish. And then I was going to have to do a 7-strip on a gigantic, disgusting skinned Springer Spaniel that is owned by my friend. She's my trailer trash friend. I know she'll never listen to it. She's a horrible trailer trash friend. She has this big, gigantic Springer Spaniel who has disgusting, gooey ears and gross, nasty skin. And I've got to go at this 100-pound Springer Spaniel with no clipper back.
Oh.
And there was hair on my table and there was hair on the floor. Disgusting. I was just so disgusted. And to top it off, it smelled like her intact male cat peed on this dog. So the whole time I'm gagging as I'm cutting off 6 months of hair that's coated in male cat pee with no clipper back. I didn't cry. I metaphorically cried. I texted Barbara. I told her that I had 2 broken clipper backs. Holy crap. So anyway, I finished my day. I went home. I looked at my schedule. The next day, I just had a Cocker Spaniel to strip, a dog that I do every 8 weeks, and I take it down with a 7-blade. Anyway, no big deal. I can do that. I'll get my vacuum out, suck up all that hair so I don't have a conniption as it's all over my table. I hate that. I got home, and we started to take apart both of the clipper backs. Everything was really rusty, so we had to get the impact screwdriver and bang it off. My husband got it off. We lubricated everything up so when it goes back together, it'll be better. And we opened it up and it turns out that one of them had brushes that were one style and the other one had a different style of brush. One of the brushes is just, of course. One of them is like the Canine 2 brushes, but that's not necessarily the one that we thought had a brush problem. The other one has these weird little 7.5-amp stranger brushes. And of course, it's the week of Hershey. What's the likelihood that Romani's are going to, what's the likelihood that the Romani's are going to send me out brushes in 2 days? You know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So my husband points out that maybe I should just search the internet for similar brushes because they're probably standard brushes. So I did. And I found them on Amazon, and Amazon Prime will deliver them on Monday. Meanwhile, he broke into the second clipper vac and took the top off. So you guys, if you ever have to take it apart your clipper vac tote, there's a metal plate on the top. You just undo the screws and lift it off, and you have access to everything you need right there. It's very simple. There's a little bit of foam packing for noise insulation, but you can see the brushes right on top, and you can use YouTube and pretty much get the instructions there. Changing brushes on a clipper vac is not an advanced type of a thing. It's very beginner. Anybody can do it. Barbara, even you could do it. Barbara has rejoined us now. Welcome back, Barbara.
Now, she might be gone again.
And she's gone again.
It reminds me, I should have some brushes on hand.
Me too.
I think I do somewhere, but I should probably make sure I do.
I had clipper brushes, and I had canine tube brushes. And the canine tube brushes have the brush out one end, and then they have a plastic end on the other side. And those fit one of the two clipper vac motors.
Oh.
I'm assuming the newer motor probably uses those brushes because they were way more prevalent than the strange brass-colored brush that goes in what must have been the older of the two clipper vac motors. I was grateful to see it had brushes because Marlene had so much trouble with the one without brushes. Ordered the brushes for one. My husband took apart the motor of the other. And here's another thing. If you think things aren't working and you have any inclination, take it apart, clean it up, and put it back together. So he pulled the brushes out and he cleaned the little cylinder that the brushes contact. And then he put it back together and the other one started right up. So I only had half a day without a clipper vac, but boy, you'd have thought, well, that someone had cut my foot off or something.
Oh, that would be me. Between that and the Brevera, that's what I use. If I'm not using the Brevera on a dog, I'm using the clipper vac.
Well, and I have my lovely Pulse Andis ZR, but it's not the same. I didn't realize how much it bothers me to have hair on my table. I have issues. We know I have issues. I don't like my food to touch. You know, I have all kinds of weird issues, right? I do not like hair on my table. I may be in the wrong business. We have a new Patreon subscriber. That's the other big news of the week. As exciting as that is, she has yet another name that I cannot pronounce. And I'm thinking this might be perhaps a Greek name. So I had my husband help me with it. So I'm going to give it a try. The name is Kira Sarudis. Kira, thank you for becoming a Patreon subscriber. Thank you for joining. Have you heard of Patreon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really handy. So if you guys want to support the show in like a monthly way, you can join Patreon and give us a couple bucks, a dollar, even 50 cents. Heck, you don't have to though, because we're going to do this anyway. And if you don't want to give us anything on Patreon, just show up every week and that's good enough. That is good enough. All right. Well, let's take a break and hear from our sponsor, Best Shot. And then I think we're going to come back and do Barb's interview because I have a feeling that Barbara's internet is not going to be cooperative this morning. We've all been there. Your appointment shows up and it's a matted mess. The products you choose can make a huge difference in the end result. The Ultramax line by Best Shot is the perfect solution. It was engineered for serious professionals to get dirty jobs done right. The Ultramax system starts with the shampoos. Ultramax Pro is a dilute as needed shampoo. Use it directly on the coat for degreasing, 15 to 1 for deep cleaning, 50 to 1 for light cleaning, or anything in between. It's perfect for recirculating bathing systems. And there's also Ultramax Clarifying Shampoo. Ultramax Pro Conditioner is so light but so powerful. It has Best Shot's special coat releasing technology for superior de-shedding and de-matting. It never adds drying time and works great in recirculators. And a body splash. The whole Ultramax line features a modern sweet pea fragrance. This isn't your grandma's perfume. It's delightful. Whether it's Ultramax, One Shot, Ultra Wash, or any of the Best Shot lineup, you can expect the finest quality and true performance. They'll help you make masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Find Best Shot products at quality distributors and online at bestshotpet.com. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. As you guys know, we've got Barb Hoover here, and she has written a book recently that is really cool. I got the opportunity to read it, and it is called The Difficult Dog. And Barbara, are you speaking at Hershey this week?
I am. I'm doing two classes, the difficult dog class, and 25 things every groomer should know.
I want to know a little bit about you as a groomer and as a person. So where were you born?
Leavenworth, Kansas. Well, no, I take that back. I was born in Colorado, but moved to Leavenworth shortly after.
How big is Leavenworth?
It's got a small town feel, but it's fairly large. Don't ask me the population because I have no idea.
What was your favorite subject in like high school?
Oh, school and me just, it wasn't my thing.
Well, then that's a favorite subject right there. I will accept that as an answer. Bing, moving on. So where was your first interest in pets?
Growing up, always. We always had them. Always had pets.
Dogs, like? Dogs, cats, all of
dogs
it?
And, yeah, dogs and cats, always. The main family dog growing up was a boxer. We loved her dearly.
When did you think you might like to groom?
I kind of fell into it. There was a time when I was young, very early in my marriage, when we moved down to Oklahoma and we were poor and very hungry and didn't have a car. And within walking distance was a grooming shop. And I went in and said, what could I do here? And I bathed for a while, and then we moved back home. I feel kind of bad because I didn't stay with her long. Moved back home, kind of similar circumstances. Very close to where I was living was another grooming shop. And I popped in, and I said, I'm really pretty good with the dogs, and they hired me and trained me to groom.
You know,
it
is
33 years ago.
33 years. Excellent. So you've got some legs. You are actually the owner, let's call it owner, of the Groomer's Lounge, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, what made you start that?
I actually took that over from Joyce.
Were you a member there and you were interacting there and then she gave it up kind of thing?
Yes, she got very ill. And as she got where she couldn't physically do it, she asked me to take it over for her.
I remember the Groomer's Lounge. What a great place that was to gather before we ever had anything like Facebook.
Yeah,
I really appreciate everything you did there. As a young groomer, I used that a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
a great vision, and she really put it out there.
Yeah, and you did a fine job of maintaining it. I mean, it's even there today, right?
It's still there.
You can look stuff up.
Not a whole lot of traffic. But for anybody who wants to look back, there's like 10,000 pages of information there.
Oh, how fun. That's cool. Tell me about your grooming life. So when you started grooming, you started bathing, then did she train you to groom?
Yes. Then I was trained to groom.
That was very of me.
Well, actually, it was a she and a he. He owned it. She was a groomer as well. So I picked it up from both of them. And to be honest, 33 years later, I'm still picking up stuff from every groomer you meet.
Are you in your own shop? Are you mobile? Are you house call? What do you do?
I am so much. I have my own shop at home. I'm also 2 days a week at a vet clinic and recently went 3 days a week at another multi-groomer salon in Kansas City.
It's good. Keeps things exciting. It keeps it moving and all that.
Oh, it does. No burnout because every day it's swapped out. So if I'm going to get tired at home, it's great. I can be tired of it this day because it's going to be several days later before I'm back and then I'm over it.
That's cool. The speaking thing, that's good too, because that gives you a little break also.
Yes. I get to travel and get away from everything and I can call it business and not that I'm just running away from home.
I like that excuse as well. It's a good excuse for a cruise. Let me tell you, I've done that.
I have not done the cruise. I know everybody says cruises are amazing and wonderful. I've never been on one and I really don't have much desire to.
They're for a person who really likes summer camp.
I just don't know if I'd like to be so confined.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I like it. It's fun. I schedule my day. I get up in the morning. I highlight everything I'm going to do during the day. And then nothing makes me more comfortable than a schedule, which is why being a mobile groomer is perfect.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite dog to groom?
I like the terriers. Probably Westies being my favorite.
I can relate.
They're a lot of fun. They've got a great coat to work. And I just like the personality.
So what do you have at home animal-wise?
I've got three standard poodles and a toy poodle, a couple of birds,
Holy cow, that's a lot of grooming.
Well, one poodle's corded, so her upkeep is very minimal. So that helps.
Did you ever compete?
No. I did my certification, and that was as much as I ever wanted to be in front of anybody grooming.
And yet you can speak up there, so that's cool. I mean, you get to get back in your own way.
Yeah.
So why did you write this book?
It started out as a class, and as I was just working through and getting my keynotes and all of my outline together, I thought, I could just go into a book. And so, to be truthful and honest, on a whim, I sat down, did a book, found an online publishing company that I could submit it, and ta-da, it was done. I do a lot of things on a whim without a whole lot of thought. Someday I'll go back and revise it and add a little bit more. You know, there's stuff I'd like to revise it and maybe second edition it. But truly, it was a weekend whim.
Well, it came out very nice. Thank you for gifting a copy to myself and also one to Barbara. We liked reading it. It's written from a unique perspective. You've kind of written it from the dog's perspective. I liked that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a good read. It's done in kind of a more of a narrative kind of rather than a laid out outline. I'm an outliner. You're more of a narrative teller.
Right.
So you've got it written in a narrative story kind of a way, and it's easy to read. And there's a lot of good information tucked into the little bits and corners. Where did your interest in the subject come from?
It started with my own dog, probably, if I had to go back that far. One of my heart dogs. She came to me as a foster, as an absolute newborn, still with an umbilical cord. And she was a difficult dog. She didn't like people. And I knew what I was doing, the socializing, everything. You know, it was done right. And yet she didn't like other people. She was ugly and nasty when I picked her up. And it just, you know, we did everything and that, okay, it's just her. Just her. And then one day I picked her up to put her in the tub. As she went after me again, and she was about 40 odd pounds. And I thought, if this wasn't my own dog, I wouldn't even groom this dog anymore, which then really got me thinking. And I took her to work with me the next day. And I told my boss, I said, I want you to do some x-rays of her. He said, why? I said, I don't know. I have a gut feeling. There was something wrong. This isn't normal. This isn't just, she's a grouchy dog. She had no reason to be a grouchy dog. And he had her walk me up and down the hallway, and we talked and talked and talked. And he said, I think you're on the wrong path here because the dog looks fine. Now, in my gut, I really, really want it done. Hey, it's my boss. He's like, fine. Well, x-ray her, no big deal. And he came back out with x-rays that showed her whole pelvic area was just a disaster.
Wow.
She had always been like that. She had built up, she was a very active dog. She'd built up enough muscling that you couldn't see it. Well, what then made sense out of everything in her whole life, the one person besides me that she really liked, and she liked him more than she ever liked me, was my nephew. He used to pick her up and cart her all around, all over the place. He was about 5. He would tuck her up underneath his arm. Her legs would dangle. And they would just do their thing. Well, her legs would dangle. He never hurt her when he picked her up. When in all the socializing we did, because this is what you do when you have a puppy that doesn't like anybody to touch him, I would pick her up and I would hand her to my very good dog friends, and they would hold her and they would snuggle her gently and make her feel secure, which squished her little hips and pelvis. So all of her life, every time somebody tried to do really nice things and comfort her and make her feel secure, it hurt. So what did she learn? She learned that people hurt. So that was such a light bulb moment for me then. And from there, we couldn't go back. You know, you can't go back and change that. Her early view of people were that, with the exception of my nephew, who just let her legs dangle, was that people hurt. And I remember the first time I picked her up after we found that out, I shifted my arm up more towards the rib cage, not a normally comfortable way to pick a dog up. I could practically feel her sigh and relax like, oh my God, she finally got it. And that's kind of where it started. It made me really stop and think about why the dogs act the way they do. Yes, socialized wise, everything was done right with her from the time before her eyes were open. So it wasn't a socializing, it wasn't a training, it wasn't a behavior issue, it was a physical one.
That's a great clue right there, as always, for us to send them to the veterinarian. But oftentimes the vets, if you don't have credibility with them, will just blow off the incident, right. You know. And so sometimes it helps if you accompany the owner into the vet and you can talk to the vet in person. Sometimes that'll help. And then you can tell them why you're feeling this way and they'll be a little bit more receptive. But it's an interesting interaction that takes place. So then you started to become sensitive, I assume, to the, like the, what I would call the feelings of the dog. And grooming itself is kind of an assault. We talked a little bit about that last week. So you learned and developed ways to combat some of this stuff, and you shared it with us in this fantastic book.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really cool. We really, really love it and appreciate you bringing it here. Anything else you'd like to tell us about grooming a difficult dog? We've got like 4,000 people out there listening.
Oh, wow. So not to put pressure
on. Give us some of your best tips.
The biggest thing to remember, in my opinion, is that dogs aren't assholes without reason. You know, if the dog is dancing around the table, if the dog is biting when you pick up a foot or a leg, they're not doing it just because they want to make your day bad. There's a real reason. Sometimes we can figure it out specifically. Sometimes you just have to take it for the fact that for whatever reason that dog has, he dislikes that enough to feel defensive enough to bite about it. And if it's that bad for the dog, it's time to find a different way to do it.
That is a perfect tip. How about telling us where we can find the book?
The short, easiest way is to go to lulu.com, which is LULU.com, and then just search for my name, Barb Hoover.
And what about your speaking schedule? Where are you coming up? Obviously, we know you're at Hershey.
I'm Hershey. I don't have anything set after that. I did do the Pasadena show last year, so thinking probably do that again because I really liked it.
I want to do that one too because obviously the proximity to the amusement parks is good. That's my travel schedule, is all related to roller coasters around the country. Any of your listeners out there live near any really cool roller coasters, just contact me, let me know. I'll drop by, spend the night on your couch, hit the coaster, fly back out. It's all good.
Hey, we've got Worlds of Fun in Kansas City.
Oh, I know all about Worlds of Fun.
Roller coasters.
That is a good park. It's a good little regional park. I'd love to go there.
Well, I am about 40 minutes away, so you're welcome anytime.
We'll have to talk. All right. So the rest of your contact information, can we find you on Facebook and Twitter, any of all of that stuff?
Facebook, I'm a lot more active on. I think I have a Twitter account. I couldn't tell you what it is.
Well, Facebook then.
But there is one, yes. Facebook's the better way.
Good. And then... Great. Well, I think that wraps it up for the interview portion of the show. And Barbara just said, fuck, I give up. So I think I'll record her portion of the show later. Thank you so much for being here, Barb. We really appreciate it. And feel free to come on anytime you want to plug anything, any of your speaking engagements, any new materials you're writing or putting out there. We'll be happy to back you up. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, Barb. Have a great day.
You too.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Back to school time, Barbara. Let's do our veterinary vocabulary. The word is one that I'm sure you know. It's cytology. Do you know what that means?
That's with a C-Y-T-O.
Correct. Yep.
Cytology. Isn't that the... like the microscopic examination of a slide, a cell?
Yes.
A cell?
Cells. So, cells. Ology. Ology, like sociology.
Study of. Study
right?
of.
And cyto means cells. So, you're studying the cells under a microscope because cells are little.
Wait, I've never seen a random one live.
Oh. Never, not just passing. I thought I saw them in my eyes. Turns out those are called floaters. They're not cells. But okay, on to the grooming glossary. Do you know what a square body is? I do. It's the shape of my clipper vac before I tore it apart. You know what a square body is in a dog?
Is it like, what's the difference between a square body and cobby?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a, yeah, well, square body, it's square, dude.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, like, how hard is that? Like, Bichon Frise, not a square body. It's a rectangle body, right?
Right. So
standard
it's a
poodle, square body.
The dog whose measurement from withers to the ground equals that from forechest to the buttocks.
To the square. Butt bone.
Yeah. It's, you know. Square. All right, on to the definition.
Do we have a breed? Do you have a breed? No.
I didn't pull up a breed.
Yeah, well, see, you don't give us examples.
I didn't give us examples.
How are we to digest that? Do you think that
I gave you an example. I said my clipper vac is
a square body.
Actually, I picked that term because I was mad at my clipper vac at the moment.
Well... So your clipper vac is, you now have one working clipper vac.
Yes.
How nice to have someone in your home that actually can fix something. Damn.
It was interesting because when we opened it up, because the biggest problem was the casing had rusted. So getting the screws out is always a nightmare. But they have a thing called an impact wrench, and you stick a driver in there, and then you whack on it, and it turns like that, and it was able to break them loose. Plus, I had put some lubricant on there. But I have two. One of them is older than the other one. I didn't know which was which. They both use different brushes.
Oh, isn't that something?
The one that I was using used a considerably more unusual brush than the second one. Actually, I take that back. The first one, the one that died on me the first time, uses a standard brush that you can use for your canine too, or for a vacuum cleaner. The other one, my second one that broke, that one uses a really unusual brass covered small 7.5-amp brush that is available but is not the norm. So it was interesting to see the differences in the motors. So,
yeah.
And all he did was clean up the one, and it went, plugged it back in, and it started connecting again and went to work.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, our work just really does clog up motors and that kind of stuff. And sometimes you can't do anything about it except take it all apart and blow it out. Probably ought to do that to my Hanvi vac.
The cylinder that contacts the carbon brush had become so dirty from the carbon brush rubbing on it that no contact was being made, even though there was still some brush left. Not a ton of brush, but there was brush left. So he took an emery board and he cleaned up the cylinder so that the contact would actually make contact, and it started up.
Voila.
So happy, because it turns out I'm really offended by hair on my table and on the floor and standing in hair and stuff like that. I didn't realize how little I cared for that. I mean, I really don't like hair on my table. If I was sweeping it off every 2 seconds and then sucking it up with my vacuum, and everything was taking me twice as long because I was vacuuming in between every stroke practically.
Hit it. You vacuum after you finish the dog, Susie.
You're right.
You know, you vacuum after you finish the dog. But I agree with you. The loose hair on my table is one of the things that I dislike about my job. You know, like if I had the assistant at my side that just brushed the table off as I groomed, I could stand it. But I hate it when they step back in hair that you have scissored off, and now you can't tell whether you really trimmed that foot or not, you know, because they pick it back up on their feet. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to love a clipper back. I just don't use mine that much.
Well, you missed the worst part about the whole thing was the gigantic 90-pound English Springer Spaniel that had been peed on by the intact male cat.
And the cat pissed the dog?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that cat was serious.
Yep, and there's no other explanation. It was so rank, so horrible, so acrid, so disgusting, so male cat pee on this dog that I had to wash my trailer twice and empty all the garbages and scrub stuff out, because afterwards I realized the molecules were stuck in my nose. The molecules of cat dog pee mixture, because the dog is yeasty. So cat pee on top of yeasty dog. It was too much.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's a olfactory overload.
It certainly was. Gosh, I was missing my back.
And you're in a little teeny closed space.
Yep.
And it just sits there and it just torments you.
It was rough. And then it's a friend's dog, but I felt like I didn't do a really great job.
Well, you're probably lucky in a way, Susie, that you didn't get all of that nasty hair in your clipper vac, you know, because then it would have made your clipper vac smell forever and ever until you figured it out, you know.
My clipper vac maintenance guy did an overhaul and complete cleaning and scrub down and anti-rusting, and we're going to, you know. So he would have got that smell out of there. He is thorough.
And his rates are fair.
Very fair. I made him dinner.
He takes a trade. Yeah, he takes a trade. Yeah, I know.
He's serious about the will work for food sign. All right. Well, let's move on to our grooming glossary. The grooming, and I'm going to take that segment that we just did and I'll put that in the beginning. I'll cut it into the discussion right after the clipper vac discussion.
Okay. But
let's go on to our grooming glossary. No, we just did that. Let's go on to our definition du jour, sponsored by Show Season. Barbara, I picked up a new Show Season shampoo this week. It's their honey shampoo.
Oh, good.
Can you tell me about it?
Well, I can tell you about the Show Season honey shampoo, but let's first talk a little bit about honey. Because honey is a huge thing right now. It's the next argan oil thing.
Oh.
So now we're coming out with all kinds of honey products because It really has been firmly established that honey is actively antibacterial and an antioxidant, and helps with healing skin. So it's been, and you know, honey has been used since before. You know what I mean? Before anything we would think would be before. So the ancient Egyptians, the Greeks, ancient Chinese, all over the world, honey was discovered, and it probably was discovered by accident that it had external benefits, as well as it was a natural sweetener. And for, you know, many hundreds of years, it was the best sweetener ever. And then people started putting it on their wounds. And all honey has a certain amount of healing power. And the healing, and look at this. Prophet Muhammad said, to quote, "Honey is a remedy for every illness." Here's another mention. The Hindu scriptures called the Veda mention honey 5,000 years ago.
Wow.
That's some folkloric value there, right? That's a story. So all of these cultures have a relationship to honey.
I have a relationship to honey. I absolutely love it.
Susie Story, excuse us. Excuse my chemistry lesson. Susie has a story.
When I was a drug addict, a horrible drug addict, I lived for 2 weeks alone on two honey bears from Costco. That sustained life. That's how good honey is. Okay, continue on.
Okay, so honey has... would you believe that honey has acidic pH?
Really?
Very acidic. It's less than 4.0.
Oh, that is far.
That's, you know, like that's getting up there towards vinegar. You know, it's in that range. But because of its sweet taste, you don't notice that, taste-wise, you don't notice that it's acidic. But that's one of the ways that it acts as an antimicrobial, is because, as we know, acidic pH does not support life of bacteria. Now, it doesn't necessarily kill the bacteria, but they can't breed and multiply in an acidic medium. So, and the other thing that it has is low water content. Water is necessary for bacteria and microorganisms. That's their food stuff. That's their food source. And actually, there's a lot of activity in the hive of the bees fanning the honey to help it reduce the moisture content. You know, as the honey matures, the bees are all in there fanning the combs so that, I mean, this is kind of their own low velocity dryer. Honey wings. Well, we'll just bring in a gang of honeybees and they'll just dehumidify the place. No, but they helped to reduce the moisture content. So it has very low water content and it has an acidic pH generally between 3.2 and 4.5. The magic antibacterial ingredient or factor in honey is dun, 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 dun. Hydrogen peroxide.
In the honey?
In the honey, honey.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. I just like dropped my jaw. Like, what? That's it? It's it? I always thought that was a chemical. Well, here we are. The chemistry of nature. Honey has hydrogen peroxide. It's produced by the enzymatic action of the enzyme glucose oxidase in the honey, and it helps to preserve the honey, and it has proven antiseptic, antibacterial properties. So honey doesn't spoil.
Right. No expiration date.
No expiration date. The worst thing that happens is it can crystallize, and that's a temperature thing usually. But honey can contain trace amounts of fungal matter, which is why it's not suggested for infants under a year, you know, because there's no resistance to that. But for most everybody, The honey is a very safe, natural, antibacterial and healing thing. Now, what about Manuka honey?
Yeah, what about Manuka honey? I have a little experience with that.
Okay, so Manuka honey, is it hype or is it real?
What's your opinion?
It's real.
Really? Because one of my groomer friends gave me a jar of it for my ever-splitting fingers in the wintertime, and I found it was really hard to use, so then I ended up trying to eat it, and the flavor was so strong I couldn't even really eat it, so I ended up giving it away. But I never really got a chance to fully test it because of the difficulty in applying it to my fingers and then trying to sleep with my fingers off.
Yeah, I know, you were licking it off in your sleep, just like okay. just like a dog, you dog.
Yeah, okay.
Probably where I know, because you got a sweet tooth, girl.
But I did read about it, and it does have some amazing claims.
Many of those claims are backed up by science, especially that it does actually have something different than our honeys over here. And it's something that comes from the Manuka flower. So it's in the Manuka nectar. And chemically what it is a saccharide called dihydroxyacetone.
So a different type of sugar?
It's a different type of sugar, yeah. Okay. Saccharide is kind of a pre-sugar. So, you know, like what happens is that bees pre-digest the nectar, which starts the process of nectar turning into honey. And when the Manuka nectar becomes honey, the dihydroxyacetone becomes methylglyoxal, and this is the antibacterial agent. But that's not all. The truth is, they don't know. Manuka honey maintains a certain secrecy about its magic, you know, about its extra benefits.
You mean that the bees aren't talking?
The bees aren't talking, and it kind of defies total identification at this point. But there's enough going on that they have identified what is called the UMF, unique Manuka factor. And you can measure the UMF. So you might see a Manuka honey that says UMF 10 plus, and the very highest is UMF 18. So the deal is that from 5 to 9 UMFs is just kind of table honey maintenance level only. 10 to 15 UMF is useful levels, and 16 above is superior levels, which enhances its special healing properties. So there's different grades of Manuka depending on the honey. And the other thing about Manuka honey is that there's a lot of hanky-panky going on with Manuka honey because it's such a fad thing. You know, so I read somewhere that New Zealand exports 1,700 tons of Manuka honey, or 17,000 tons of Manuka honey, but the UK, just the UK, uses 18,000 or 18, you know, so there's more usage of Manuka honey being reported than there is Manuka honey being made. So there's a lot of hanky panky. There's mixtures that are there, you know, adulterated honey that has some Manuka and some other kind of honey in it. And it's a big global kind of fraud going on with Manuka honey.
There's funny business in the honey business.
Hey, you just couldn't wait to spit that out. I saw your face. You just almost interrupted me.
You could see what I thought of it.
I could see when you thought of it, your little Mickey Mouse eyes lit up and your little mouth started going, I'm going to say this. And then you spit it out. You're so cute. Yeah, well, there's funny business in the honey business, yeah. But here's the deal. For hair products, you don't really need Manuka honey to be the main things that honey does for hair in hair products is that it's a natural conditioner, and it is a humectant. It's a natural humectant, so it attracts and holds water, moisture, to the hair and skin. And that's the main feature of it. It also is an emollient, so it softens the skin. And I must note that it softens the hair. So if you've got a soft-coated dog, you might not want to use a honey shampoo or a honey conditioner because it might make that hair so soft that your snap-on combs aren't going to work the way you love them to. You know, like we don't always put it together that when we over-soften hair and then have a struggle with the haircut. But that's what we do on drop coats that are really fine. We're just making it even more challenging by using a honey product.
I did notice that softening effect with the shampoo.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I noticed that I just noticed before we went on air was that there's a new line of honey products for pets called Echo Wash that's being advertised and marketed on the Pet Edge catalog. Well, first of all, you just dropped my shorts by telling me that Pet Edge was back online with their own catalog, because for the last few months, I've been going to Pet Edge and just being automatically sent to their Facebook entry for that product. How I use Pet Edge catalog is that they seem to be encouraging or maybe even pressuring manufacturers to list their ingredients on their website. So sometimes you can get an insight into ingredient information by going to the Pet Edge catalog and looking up the details of a product. So I was real excited to see that that's back.
They were bought out by another company and it recently relaunched, and I received one in the mail. That's how I knew.
Wow. So do we know who bought them out?
Yeah. Give me a second.
This is kind of industry news that might be boring to some, but it helps us all keep a handle on our industry when we know who's behind what. So Susie's gone to look for that. So the bottom line is, and this is a Manuka honey line, this Echo Wash, and it looks pretty good, but it's fairly complex.
Boss Pet.
Boss Pet.
Mm-hmm.
That's an unknown to me.
Since 1936, Boss Pet has manufactured and distributed high-quality pet products, including toys, collar leads, tethering devices, and pet health and wellness. In 2017, we acquired Coast to Coast Pet Products, expanding the reach with independent pet supply retail chain. In mid-2018, we bought Pet Edge. Yep.
Okay, so that's that. So we'll see. We'll to be determined whether they keep pushing for ingredient information. I hope they do, but I wouldn't be surprised if they back off. That's pretty much what I want to say about honey, is that it's a great substance, and it is so complex. It's not just a sugar substitute. It's not just fructose and glycose and glucose and sucrose. It is a very chemically complex substance, and Manuka honey is kind of the amped version, okay? Amped honey. For hair, honey is best known for its moisturizing and humectant. It's a nature-made humectant that retains moisture, and it's antibacterial. I don't think that honey in a shampoo is going to maintain antibacterial value with all that water that's in the shampoo. It just doesn't seem that it's going to dilute. If you want a wound cleaning, skin healing thing, you need to go to a more direct application of the honey. But if you're interested in incorporating honey, one good shampoo to look at is Show Season Honey Shampoo. And it's a fairly simple product. It's a SLS-based, sodium lauryl sulfate-based shampoo base that's going to be a great cleaner. and the sunflower, triglycerides, almond oil, manuka honey, those ingredients are going to counteract any irritation value that you might have from using such a strong detergent. So it's going to be both a great cleaner and non-irritating.
It certainly smells good. It smells like kind of vanilla honey. And I find that it leaves the coat very soft and really nice to touch with a good, you know, with a good texture, as long as, like you say, you're not using it on the wrong coat. But it seems to be a really nice shampoo, and I'm enjoying it a lot. I used it a bunch this last week.
I think I'm going to get some. They also have a Manuka Honey Sugar Scrub. Show Season does, that looks like it might be good for localized things. I'm interested in honey. I'm psyched. I'm going to try some honey products. And I think that we should open our minds to this natural, this is a truly natural ingredient.
Yeah, and we know how rare that really is. So if you guys are interested in finding some of this for yourselves, you can go to the Show Season website. That's www.showseasongrooming.com. Or you can give them a call at 678-382-0218. And that way you can get the wholesale prices. But if you're already set up with them, you can just send them an email and they'll get you this really cool honey shampoo or the honey sugar scrub right out to you. You can also find Show Season products at local distributors like Groomers Mart and Cascade Grooming Supply. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Let's move on to our At the Table segment, which is, what tips would you give your beginner self way back when you started grooming? Now that you're an old seasoned veteran, not old in years, but old in experience.
Oh, I'm old in years.
Okay, fine. You know I don't like to even admit that.
I know. You don't like to.
No, I don't. So give me a tip that you would tell yourself way back then when you just started out.
I would tell myself to take care of my feet. I would tell myself to start out with anti-fatigue mat to stand on and supportive shoes.
Right, because you're paying for that now, aren't you?
I am paying for 17 years on a concrete floor with good-looking shoes.
Fashion over comfort.
Yeah, and it's awful. Now, the other thing that's kind of related is I would also teach myself to do some things sitting down so that I could have a day that had some sitting, some standing and standing, kind of alternating. But, you know, you can do feet, you can do some drying. You know, in fact, sometimes when you sit down to dry the legs, you actually get better leg dry than you would if you're leaning over and drying the legs, you know. And there again, an adjustable table and adjust it.
I would tell myself to recognize that experience counts. When I was fresh out of learning, I thought I had all the skills that I needed to groom dogs and that really, whether I was grooming now or 10 years from now, it wasn't going to be that much different. But boy, was I wrong. I didn't honor the people in the industry who had had years and years and years of experience because they were doing things differently than I was. And what I would like to tell my beginner self is open your eyes and shut your mouth and watch and listen and don't be so judgmental as far as whether people are brushing before the bath or after the bath or whether they're using odd products, is to discount all of that and take from them the information that comes with experience, because you don't really realize how much experience matters when dealing with these grooming and stuff like that.
Right. I would say something similar, which is like, don't close your mind to new information once you graduate or leave your first learning opportunity, because I had to fight with myself to evolve in my bathing and coat prep techniques because I was so stuck on complete brush out before the bath, because that's the way I was taught, and I was taught by the greatest. Trust your learning and your skills, but keep a mind out to other ways and don't close the door because you've graduated.
Got another one?
Yeah, I would do one more, which has to do with setting up my own business.
Okay.
And that's, don't charge what you would like to pay. don't set your prices according to what's comfortable for you to pay, because you want to appeal to customers that can pay more than you do. And you're just shortchanging yourself if you devalue and don't highly value your work.
I'll piggyback onto that and say, if I was able to talk to beginning groomer Barbara, I would say, keep your books, do the math, and know that you're making a profit when you're making a profit, and know that you're not when you're not. Just do the math. That's what I tell you as the beginner entrepreneur.
What I would have told you back?
Yes, I do. Go ahead, because we haven't had one yet.
Fuck you.
Perfect.
I hate bookkeeping.
I know. Okay. I've got two more. The first one is, find your niche. In other words, don't be discouraged if your scissored top knot is not perfect. There's probably a spot for you in grooming still. It may be doing dog baths more than it is scissoring a poodle. I found a happy spot, but I didn't recognize that I was going to find a happy spot when I was training and I cut down into the ear hair on the standard poodle I was doing, right? So I cut way down too low and I couldn't see it because I just didn't have that skill yet. I hadn't developed the eye yet, but my instructor had, and she went home thinking that night that I would never be a groomer.
Oh, listen, I was told I was a 3 on a scale of 10.
Oh, wow. I think of you as an 11. Gosh. Okay, so don't get discouraged. Just find your comfort zone. Find your spot that works for you. There's enough dogs out there. There's enough variety and service. There's enough different places to work. Don't be discouraged. If this is really your passion and you don't find yourself going home hating it, because if you do find yourself going home hating it, get out of it. It's not
get
for
out
you.
Of it. Yeah.
But if it is your passion, you'll find a spot. It's not show dogs for me by any means. It's the challenging ones. So, you know, he'll find a spot, but don't give up. And the last one is really, really important. And I'll wrap up the show with this one. And it is buy the best equipment you can afford and use it every day. One of my big mistakes was early on, I bought a very expensive pair of shears and it sat in the case and I never used it because they were my competition shears. Well, what good is that? I have the best shears and I'm using these horrible, crappy $99 heritage shears. And I have some beautiful Japanese shears that I could use for finishing, but I would never take them out because they were my special shears for special occasions. Don't do that. Use your shears.
Don't do that. Right. Right.
Buy as much the best equipment you can buy, and then don't let it sit. Take it out and use it every day. It took me a long time to learn that lesson. Is that it? Are we good?
I think we're good.
Well, yeah, you're good because you missed half the show. That's okay, though.
Now, you guys, it's nerve-wracking all the time.
Yes.
Trying to get connected. I am so glad that we finally have something in the can.
Yeah. Thank you very much for voting us for the Barclay Honors Award, and we're just honored to have won. Thank you so much for voting us for the Barclay Honors Award, and we're so sorry we didn't win. We'll get them next time, though. And thanks for being here. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye, groomers. Take care of yourselves. Get some good shoes.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.